Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia and Azerbaijan have big potential in developing investment in many sectors. Indonesia and the United States strengthen cooperation on unmanned aircraft system. Now the news in details. Diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Azerbaijan has been implemented since September 1992. Charged Affairs of Azerbaijan Embassy to Indonesia, Ruslan Nasibov, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the two countries have strong relationship and continue to develop. Ruslan Nasibov also said that the two countries have huge potential to develop investment in many sectors.
So many sectors have potential, and both energy, oil, and non-oil sectors. So in non-oil sectors, so many, starting from agriculture to tourism. Mm-hmm. And in energy sector, it is also well known. So the potential is very high. And we are working with our Indonesian partners on how we are going to deepen our relations in economic field and to expand them further.
Moreover, Ruslan Nasibov also explained that Azerbaijan has exported palm oil to Indonesia and imported certain goods from Indonesia. Even the cooperation of the two countries has been strengthened by signing memorandum of understanding between Pertamina, Indonesian state-owned company, and Sokar State Oil Company of Azerbaijan Republic. Indonesia and the United States continue to work together in the transfer of knowledge and technology related to unmanned aircraft system, or UAS. The cooperation is part of the U.S.-Indonesia Aviation Working Group called Strengthening Aviation by Incorporating Innovative Technology in Indonesia. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Transportation Ministry's Director General of Air Transportation, Polana B. Pramesti, in a statement on Wednesday, expressed his gratitude to the U.S. government for their cooperation with the Indonesian government through the Aviation Working Group, which has been carried out since 2016. Pramesti further said, the use of drones or unmanned aircraft has been developing quickly as they offer a variety of capabilities and sophistication, and the industry has promising economic potential. Pramesti said, this is a challenge for regulators and requires special time to regulate air traffic management. Vice President Yusuf Kala hopes the Paris Summit Online Extremism under the theme Christchurch Call to Action is able to fight extremism using the internet. The Vice President, in remarks at the meeting held at the Elysee Palace in Paris, France on Wednesday, hopes that Christchurch Call to Action can facilitate community resilience movement, build capacity, and encourage private partnerships in fighting violent extremism. Escorted by Antara News Agency, he also said there is no country is immune from acts of terrorism and extremist violence. Yusuf Kala explained that Indonesia also continues to be committed to eradicating terrorism as a threat to world security and peace. He assessed that terrorists get a wrong understanding of the value of life and religion. The internet as an easily accessible means is a favorite choice of terrorists in spreading their false teachings. Indonesia, as current president of the United Nations Security Council, has urged improving the safety and performance of United Nations peacekeepers during the UN Security Council open debate on May 2019. The UN Security Council open debate entitled Investing in Peace, Delivering Quality Training and Capacity Building to Improve Safety and Security and Performance of UN Peacekeepers, was held under the framework of Indonesia's presidency of the Security Council in May 2019. Escorted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Director General for Multilateral Affairs of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Febrian Rudyard, explained that the Indonesian government highlighted the theme because of Indonesia's commitment to the importance of the work of the peacekeepers. The Indonesian government said it believed that adequate preparation would greatly help the success of UN peacekeepers. Indonesia ranked 8th among the 124th largest country that contribute peacekeepers, with 30,000 personnel involved in various United Nations missions. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Law No. 52 of 2009 on Population Growth and Family Development mandates that population as the basic capital of development. In this case, Indonesia must be free from stunting issues, which has become obstacles factor of the growth of Indonesian children. Responding about it, researchers of Community and Cultural Research Center, Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Aulia Hadi, told media at LIPI Jakarta on Wednesday that the people who have educational background have to play an active role in giving understanding about stunting prevention to their surrounding people. People who have much money or those who have a good education background must take an active role among the community in a formal structure. For example, posyandu or people integrated health service, family welfare development PKK, and social gathering, because we can provide education of stunting prevention. Meanwhile, exclusive breastfeeding is important. Meanwhile, researchers for Future Technology Development Center of LIPI, INEA, Herminiati said that prevention of stunting can be started from family food consumption patterns. The ongoing trade war between the United States and China is estimated to affect trade climate in Indonesia. Sunny Skandar, Deputy of Regional Economic Development at the Chambers of Commerce, said China may turn its eyes on Indonesia as a major export destination as they have lost the American market. As quoted by Tempo.co, Sunny Skandar on Thursday said that because they lost their market in the United States, China is looking for opportunities to export to other nations, especially Asian region, including Indonesia. Sunny also said this would mean an influx of Chinese goods to Indonesia's market on a scale more massive than before the trade settlement. He further added that Indonesia is a target market China because of the potential from its large population. In addition, the competitiveness of domestic industries is not strong enough to produce similar goods made by China. The Indonesian Palm Oil Producers Association, GAPKI, the country's palm oil export increased in the first quarter of 2019 despite an alleged smear campaign against the commodity led by the European Union and a global economic slowdown. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, GAPKI chairman Joko Supriyono on the sidelines of a breaking of the fast event in Jakarta on Wednesday said that export of crude palm oil and its derivative products increased 16% to 9.1 million tons in the first quarter, compared to 7.84 million tons exported in the corresponding period last year. He said production and export increased although the price was under pressure because of the global economy. Indonesia is now busy facing the global slowdown and the threat by Europe, which plans to phase out palm oil as a raw material for biofuel. The European Union has classified oil palm as a crop that causes deforestation and should be phased out by 2030 in transportation fuel under its Renewable Energy Directive, RED2. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here is the commentary. Today's commentary is about National Book Day. National Book Day in Indonesia, ratified by the former Minister of Education at that time, Abdul Malik, on May 17, 2002, was adopted from the inauguration of National Museum of Indonesia on May 17, 1980. Although the celebration is never as lively as National Music or Film Days, the National Book Day should be celebrated by the book readers. Today is aimed at enhancing interest in reading books among Indonesian people. Reading culture and book sales increase are also expected results from the day. National Book Day in Indonesia shares vision and mission with the global version, namely celebrating reading culture to gain more insights, creativity, and imagination. The World Book and Copyright Day is celebrated by UNESCO and other related organizations on April 23rd annually. The date was chosen by UNESCO to pay respect for the world's greatest literature figures like William Shakespeare, Miguel Cervantes, and Inca Garcilaso de la Vega, who passed away on April the 23rd. It was first proclaimed in 1995 during UNESCO General Conference in Paris to respect all writers and books across the globe. Besides respect, World Book Day is celebrated to recognize the scope of the book as the bridge between the past and the future, as well as every culture and generation. The old saying, "Book is a window to the world," is true. In the past, Indonesian independence proclaimer Mohatta would voluntarily be imprisoned if he is accompanied with books. It signifies that book is also an important need. A lot of knowledge is accessible only through the books. And for this year's World Book Day, Director General of UNESCO, Audrey Azoulay, said that books are also a form of cultural expression that live through and as a part of a chosen language. Each publication is created in a distinct language and is intended for a language-specific reading audience. Based on a survey in 2005, Indonesians' reading interest was averagely 18,000 books only per year. This number is very possible for increase. Books and reading are a close unity. Besides, there should be a platform for book appreciation and writers' creativity through competition in all education levels. Competition will be the reason for the available and future best authors to keep writing. Still, the real appreciation for those authors is buying their original prints instead of the pirated copies. Happy National Book Day of Indonesia! Happy reading and improving insight and appreciating the works of your local authors. Listener, that's the commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program Today in History. Well, we start now an event on May 16, 1945 on New Congress throughout Java. Before the Investigation Committee for Preparatory Work for Independence was established on May 16, 1945 in Bandung, West Java, huge Congress was held throughout Java, and this was initiated by Indonesian young generation. The Congress, which was attended more than 100 youth and students throughout Java, called on the youth in Java to unite and to prepare themselves in a bid to implement Proclamation of Independence, which is now a gift from Japan. The Congress resulted in two resolutions. The first one was that all Indonesian groups, especially youth groups, were united and tied with one national leader, and the second one was that the implementation of the announcement of Indonesian independence was accelerated. The next event is that in 1975, Junko Tabe, the first woman, reached Mount Everest. On May 16, 1975, Junko Tabe, a mountain climber from Japan, succeeded to be the first woman who was able to reach the highest peak of the mountain in the world, Everest. She climbed through Southeast Line, the peak of Everest on Himalaya Hill, which is located at Nepal and China border, on the height of around 8,850 meters. The last event is that in 1995, Soko Asahara or Matsumoto was arrested. On May 16, 1995, Soko Asahara, a leader of misguided sect armed Shinrikyo in Japan, was arrested by police personnel of the state. The sect became a police fugitive after the sect was proven as a perpetrator of chemical bomb attack on Japanese subway, and the bomb attack killed 12 people and injured 5,000 people. In 1984, he and his wife began yoga teaching class and got followers. In 1986, Matsumoto went to India, and there he recognized that he got vision when he was meditating on mountain Himalaya. After going back to Japan in 1987, Matsumoto changed his name to be Soko Asahara and developed religious class, which was named Aum Shinrikyo, meaning the truth teaching on creation and destroying of nature. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, the title of My Indonesia is Wendy, the son of West Kalimantan, gains the World Environment Achievement. Wendy Tamariska from the Palung Foundation won the 2019 Whiteley Award for his dedication to conservation and environment. The award was received directly from the Princess of British Royal, Princess Anne, as the patron Whiteley Fund for Nature at the Royal Geographical Society building in London Wednesday. Wendy, in his written statement in Pontianak, said that he was considered successful in protecting orangutans and rainforests through sustainable livelihood program in the landscape of Gunung Palung National Park, Ketapang, and North Kayong District, West Kalimantan Province. Since 2010, Wendy began to invite local communities to utilize non-timber forest products, become sustainable alternative income by not to destroying forests. Wendy, through the Sustainable Livelihood Program from the Palung Foundation, also succeeded to reach out the community, such as Pandan Mats Craftsmen, through Craftsmen Assisted Group. The community, as the craftsmen finally succeeded producing woven from pandanus raw materials with various creations. After becoming a mat craftsman, the local people eventually no longer work as stone miners. Moreover, Wendy also managed to fostering local farmers to cultivate potential land or sleeping land to be planted with various plants with environmentally friendly planting patterns. For his efforts, Wendy became one of six people from several countries who received the Whiteley Award 2019 in London, England. Previously, there were 100 nominees from 55 countries in the world who entered the organizers' selection. In addition, Wendy was the only recipient of the Whiteley Award with S1 education background, while other five nominees are professors and doctors. In his speech when receiving the award, Wendy said that in the forests of Kalimantan, there are living indigenous people with their traditions. The people also guard the preservation of forests as their settlement. Meanwhile, President of the National Dayak Customary Assembly, Cornelis, stated that he is ready to support conservation activists like Wendy. He hopes other Wendy figures would be able to emerge in West Kalimantan, since Kalimantan forest is needed to be protected and preserved. Cornelis also said, Indonesia needs environmental activists like Wendy to prevent forest and environment destruction, which is increasingly massive. Indonesia's forests and several other rainforests become foundation of the world, which is now getting more diminished. That was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Kopior Roti. Entering the holy month of Ramadan, various culinaries for iftar begin to appear. Various types of culinary are sold by vendors in the afternoon before fast breaking. In Banyuwangi, precisely at Gasebu, hundreds of vendors sell various menus for iftar. Gasebu is a shopping center in Banyuwangi selling takjil or food for iftar during Ramadan. From various culineries, Kopior Roti, a typical food of Banyuwangi, is mostly liked by people for iftar. Kopior Roti is made of natural ingredients such as bread, vermicelli, jackfruit, and coconut meal. The dough is then wrapped with banana leaf. The making process of the food is conducted simply. The banana leaf filled with fresh water, vermicelli, jackfruit, and coconut meal, then steamed for 15 minutes. When eaten, the taste of Kopior Roti is so delectable combined with the taste of sweet and savory of the coconut meal. The vendors usually mix the Kopior Roti with jackfruit to add the taste and aroma. Since the Kopior Roti is made of natural ingredients, so it is categorized as healthy food. Sweet taste and soft texture make the food is suitable for iftar. The price is affordable, which is only 2,000 to 5,000 rupiah per portion. This favorite food of the local community of Banyuwangi can be found at markets or festivals in the region during Ramadan. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sulit untukku percaya. Sampai akhirnya ku lihat sendiri sakit hatiku, oh, sakit melihatmu dengannya. Tinggal melupakanmu saja, janji diri sendiri. Terakhir malam ini.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about Ramadan Festival 2019. Stay tuned. Listeners, the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office launched the Ramadan Festival 2019 to commemorate the holy months of Ramadan. The festival entitled Wonderful Ramadan in Aceh has been held from May 7th until 21st, 2019 at Taman Budaya from 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Western Indonesian Time. Head of the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office, Jamaluddin, said that the event is the realization the Aceh provincial government's commitment to develop the region as the halal tourism destination in Indonesia and restore the region in a bid to welcome both domestic and international tourists. The Ramadan Festival 2019 is meant to attract not only domestic but also international tourists to participate in numerous activities in a bid to enliven the celebration of Ramadan and explore the beauty and uniqueness of Islamic destinations in the region, which is known with title of the Veranda of Mecca, as well as perform the fasting ritual on the land of Rencong. The activities consist of opening ceremony and bazaar. The culinary bazaar presents various delectable foods for Muslims, breakfasting. In addition, the Ramadan Festival 2019 also features a number of art performances, exhibitions, and competitions such as Islamic culture and art competition, Islamic cultural exhibition, Islamic movie screening, breaking the fast together, Islamic lecture, and other interactive supporting activities. There are also other activities such as Tarawih prayer in congregation, charity event with orphans, and clothing auction. The money obtained from the auction will be donated to the orphans. The Ramadan Festival 2019 presents unique and enchanting ambience with various traditional decorations of Afghanese culture, which showcase the characteristics of Islam. The unique ambience gives new experience for the tourists. Indonesian Minister for Tourism Arif Yahya said that Aceh has immense potentials to be the center of halal tourism destination, because the requirements of developing halal tourism mostly have been fulfilled by the Aceh province, such as appropriate facilities and halal tourism services. The Ramadan Festival 2019 makes the tourists more interested to visit and explore Aceh. Listeners, that was miscellany about Ramadan Festival 2019. See you on our next edition.
Jangan kau hati ku kian mengibah. Dengarlah kali ini saja, ku takkan lebih banyak bicara.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present you a religious song from Gito Rolis entitled Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung. With the real name Bangun Sugito, he was vocalist of the Rolis group that was famous in the 1970s. Besides joining with the Rolis group, Gito Rolis actively released his solo singer albums. He has released 15 albums, including a religious album entitled Kembali Padanya, which was released in 2007. This song tells about someone who puts their trust in God Almighty. The song, created by Liz Hadi and dedicated again by Reni Jayusman, Gito's close friend, in 2017. Through this song, Reni Jayusman wants to remember and pay homage to Gito, who died in 2008. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung by Gito Rolis.
Hanya padamu segala puji bagimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tiada tertutup pintu taubat.
tempatnya. Wahai sahabat, cepatlah bertobat, karena ajal kian mendekat. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Tiada tertutup curahan rahmatnya, selalu dinanti kembali badannya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.